Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today. Say it with me, roots, shoots, and fruits. It's really hard. It's an amazing campaign to set up your year well. And what we really want to do is just through January, Pastor Al was thinking about it. And he's like, we really want this solid, like that beautiful song. How great was that song? Christ, our solid foundation. And I've forgotten his name. Is it Kendall on the bass? How great is this guy? I think he looks like Mark Kelsey's brother. But when he was up there just like playing the bass, and I just imagined all of us with really good solid rock under our feet, our roots are really good this year, just worshiping God through the storm. So when the storms hit, that's what we want to be. We just want to be like, do, do, do. Oh my gosh, can you tell I'm not a bass player? I think I'll just stick to teaching. So let's pray this morning, guys. Thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house, like Pastor Al just shared. We want to be good stewards of finances. We thank you, Lord, that this is the heart of 2023, that we have launched this year, these giving moments where we are good stewards of what you have given us in this house, where we can put it to work in kids, where we can put it to work in youth and our cares. But Father God, I pray for us individually that, Lord, you would teach us this morning about stewardship. What does that mean about stewardship? What does that mean about not owning our finances, but stewarding them? We reveal our heart this morning to you and ask that you would transform it in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome, guys. Have a seat. Pastor Al did say in that giving moment that we are launching this year, our 2023 giving moments will look slightly different. We're going to have these teaching moments. So every time the giving moment comes up, teaching moments. And I'm kind of going to go through some of those in this preach, putting God first, that money is a tool, not a goal. We're going to just teach on that. The reason that we're doing that is it's really important for you to know why you give. So that when the kind of world comes in and tells you, what are you doing? Like, my family, you crazy person, or your accountant looks at your accounts and says, you can't give. What is this part of your budget? This needs to go. You know that you know that you know the reasons why you give. And we want to be a heart church that is generous, and we want to be a church that's good stewards. And that's really Pastor Al's heart. We want to be good stewards of what God has given us. So how are you enjoying this campaign? I have to say, I met this beautiful lady at Silverwater last week. I won't say her name. It's Shatia, and that is the worst Australian accented version of that most beautiful name you have ever heard. When she said it, I was like, that is so beautiful, and I have completely butchered it. But she's this beautiful woman that has been in our Silverwater location for 2 weeks. She's come back to church and she said, I am loving this. I've got my prayer life in order. She said, I've got her new Bible. She's getting everything set up and so beautiful. But she was sharing with me about a fruit tree. And I love it when people get so involved in my message that after the message, they come and tell me more about the message. It's so good. And this is why I'm preaching this section, because she actually did it better than me. And she said, there was a fruit tree in this house that she built, and it was beautiful. It was a peach tree. And when they were looking at it, they were like, that is magnificent. Oh my gosh, look at those beautiful peaches. And so they didn't buy the house because of the peach tree, but it was a good advantage having this beautiful tree. But when they went to actually have a look at the fruit, they picked the fruit off and it was completely rotten on the inside. It was like worms. And she said it was inedible. You couldn't do it. And so she went back and I called it a tree doctor, but it's not called a tree doctor. They went and spoke to somebody who knows about trees and said, how do we fix this bad fruit? What do we do with this fruit that's coming out? And he said, you're going to have to cut all the branches, prune it back. The roots are dead. There's something wrong with the roots. This morning, I want to talk to you not about the way your tree looks or the way maybe your fruit looks on the outside, but how's your root system going? I get to be the teacher in this church that goes the hard yards. I said to Pastor Al, could I have a fluffy message, please? He's like, no, you're the teacher. I'm going to talk to you about something this morning that maybe just maybe transform your heart. Maybe this morning you are owning your finances, not stewarding them. As I was studying this myself, I realized that in certain areas, even in my gifting, I'm not stewarding my gifting, I'm owning it. Even in my time, I'm not stewarding my time. When God says, hey, could you do this? It's like, no, that's my time. Gollum spirit. Anyone else? Precious, it's mine. I said to Jamie Malcolm, I wish he could jump up this morning and do the Gollum spirit that comes. Does anyone else have that Gollum spirit when somebody, it's vision builders, it's mine, don't touch it. We don't want that Gollum spirit in relation to our time, our money, or our finances. We want this beautiful spirit of stewardship. So I'm going to talk about that this morning, of how we do that. Did you hear in Pastor Al's video in the first week, he was talking about the beautiful shepherd's tree. It is a tree that is only 30 foot tall, which is amazing, but it has 220 feet of roots to go down deep. That's amazing. Why? Because the source of its strength, the source of its water system cannot come from its environment. It has to come from 220 feet down. Church, we are going to have roots that go down that deep, because our environment, if you're relying on your environment for water, your environment for your source of joy, your environment for your source of income, when it starts to get hard, your tree is going to wither. What we want are these roots that have an eternal source of Christ. They have life, joy, income, finances, strength, trust. No matter what happens in the external, this tree can remain because they've got the root system right. There are four things in my life, and I shared this morning at the 8:30, that for me personally, yours may be different, that are not negotiable pillars. I like to call them my four root systems. Number one is the Word of God. Obviously. Number one is I will not bend or shift from the truth of the Word of God, and that is a really strong foundation. Number two is abiding in Christ in prayer, that I will have those moments of worship and abiding in Christ. That's a not negotiable root system for me. Number three is my character. If I am ever told to uproot my character or forfeit my character, that is a strong, solid pillar in my life. And number four is what I like to call stewardship. That means with my finances and my time and my gifts, that I am a good steward of what God has given me. I remember having a conversation with somebody, and they were uprooting. I could feel that it was trying to uproot one of my pillars. And he was like, oh no, we don't do that anymore in church. The Bible now says this. And I'm like, the Bible now says this, like it's different. I don't get that. I was like, what, 2000 years ago it was wrong? And I'm happy to wrestle with things like this. Oh no, it's changed in the church today. We no longer do this. And I could just, anyone else have conversations? I could just feel the cracking of the roots coming up. And I said to him, I love you with all my heart, but we've got to stop. And he said, why? And I said, because you're actually I can feel you're unpulling up a pillar that I'm not prepared to pull up. I stand strong on these things, and sometimes the teaching is going to pull these up and we're just not going to do it. So John 15, 16 says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. God wants you to bear fruit this year. He wants you to have beautiful fruit in your life. Those dream cards, he wants those dream cards in reality. So we're just going to talk about this beautiful source of that. Okay, three things I'm going to talk about today. Stewardship, keys to remaining in stewardship, so why we give, and the practical ways. Okay, you ready? Number one, stewardship. As I was studying this, I realized stewardship means the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. In relation to your finances, do you have the mindset that it is entrusted to your care, or do you own it? Because in the Bible, it is this beautiful understanding that God has given that to you to take care of it. I remember when I was young and I prayed for a job, anyone else? And I prayed for this job and I prayed for this job. And my first pay packet, I was so excited to honor God because I knew he gave me that job. And I was like, I can't wait to get to church and honor you, Lord, because this $10 that I earned this week, because that's how old I am, in my little pay packet. And I couldn't believe that. I was so excited. But after 6 months, that job became mine. Anyone else? Oh, I'm working at this job. I started to own the very thing that God had given me in the beginning. I started to, oh God, I've got to give you this money, but that's from my job. I worked my Sunday for that. Can you feel the sense of shift from stewardship to ownership? And maybe this year, I'm going to be really aware of my heart to remain in that beautiful stewardship. The key to stewardship is faithfulness. When you start to have a responsibility, like you have to do it all yourself and get your job and do it all yourself, that responsibility means you're sitting in ownership of it. the beautiful understanding of stewardship, you have this grace and ease that God has given it to you, and all you really need to be is faithful. How cool is that? You just got to be faithful with the things that God has given you. Let me tell you the difference between stewards. Stewards are grateful and content. Stewards give willingly, and stewards pay the gift forward. Here's a funny story of a difference between are you kind of protecting something from God? I read this in an article. This old lady absolutely loved her car. Anyone else love their car? Washed it. She was an older lady. She went and did petrol. She absolutely loved her car. It was her baby. Don't look at my car. But this car she loved, and this was her baby. And she came out of the shops one day, and as she's coming out of the shops, four people are sitting in her car. Now, she got this really sense of, I'm going to protect my vehicle. And she was clearly American because she had a gun in her bag. As they do. And so she pulls out this gun, points it at the men and says, get out of my car. And so they all freak out, get out of the car. And she feels really good. And she gets in the car, puts her bags in and puts the key in the ignition, and it's not her car. And as she looks over, two cars over is her car sitting there. So what she does is she gets really convicted and she drives to the police station and she says, I just carjacked somebody else's car. She gets in her car. And as she's talking to the sergeant starts laughing and goes, anyway, she turns around and there's these four guys standing there reporting to the next sergeant that they got carjacked by an old lady with shopping bags. And he said, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Anyway, as this guy was saying this in one of his preachers, he said this, he said, are you protecting something that is actually God's? And I was like, oh, have you told Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to get out of your car? And actually it's their car. Actually your job, your finances, your gift, that's actually theirs. They have given it to you. So I don't know about you, but I was like, am I actually owning this, the Golem spirit, or should I be stewarding this money? So how do we do that? Let's go through a couple of things. I'm going to go through three things, guys. How do we remain this year in stewardship? Because our heart is really, for my heart, is to remain in this. Number one, all we have is from God. Keep that as the pinnacle of your teaching and your understanding in relation to your finances. It's from Him. What I was thinking about this sense was it's lordship before stewardship. You'll slip into ownership when lordship becomes an issue. Anyone else? When lordship, when you realize that everything we have is from Him, our very breath is from Him, of everything that we do is from Him. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. When we realize that the source of everything that we do, the source of our finances actually flows from Him. But let me tell you, I love this. It says, it flows from an understanding that all we have are and will ever be is not ours to possess, but ultimately God's, and it's owned by Him. And when we fully embrace this understanding that everything is a gift, it results in us sharing it, honoring God with it, and then giving it away. I love that sense that because He gave so freely, we give freely. But if you don't recognize that He gave it and you start to kind of own it yourself, then this one stops. Anyone else? You kind of go, well, it's mine. But ultimately, He gives it so that we can give it. And it's this beautiful understanding. Philippians 4:19. And my God will, somebody needs to hear that this morning. My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I know in my heart, I shift into ownership when I get scared that He won't provide. I start going, oh, it's okay. It's all right. I'll do it myself. I'll get a second job. I'll work it out. When I fear His king as king and I don't trust Him, anyone else, I kind of shift into, I'll do it myself. Don't let that happen this year. Know that He will provide. He is the source of strength. He is the source. He will. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got it under control. And as that beautiful lordship comes on you, it's easy to kind of have that understanding that you are stewarding something He's already given you. So number one, all we have is from God. Number two, put God first. This is honor before stewardship. I love the sense that my gift, and it's kind of like a great thing, I have a gift to teach, but ultimately I got to put God first in that. And I love teaching in the house of God. I love teaching in college, but I know Jamie Malcolm. I love Jamie Malcolm. He has a gift to be charismatic, funniest guy on the planet. And he volunteers every Sunday preaching around our locations. Why? Because even in his gifts, he's putting God first. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. I love this. The Hebrew word here, honor, actually means to glorify and to acknowledge the source of where you got it from. How good is that? So when you honor God, you're like, you know what? I know it's from you. When you honor God and you give, I have to say those giving moments for me, anyone visual, I have to see it visually. So the giving moments for me are this: God gives it to me and then I take the whole lot, 100% or whatever he gives to me, and I connect, use a certain part, and it's like a power cord. Imagine it like a power cord. And my giving back, my tithe, is connecting that power cord in honor to him, the source of everything. And it's kind of putting it back into that eternal perspective. So that what happens is that power cord and that life and that eternal perspective flows through the rest of my income, flows through the rest of my gifts, flows through the rest of my time. It's when I disconnect that power cord that wealth becomes worldly. Anyone feel like that? It's like, oh, I'm chugging along. It's like the Bible says, you've got pockets with holes in it and it's just going through. I love the moment where I'm putting it back into the kingdom, putting it back into the source of strength and saying, you know what, I'm going to connect that. And it's like an eternal power cord to the rest of the income. Then what happens is God provides all my needs. And I love that moment. He provides, he is my Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and I've got to remember that moment. And then thirdly, when he gives it to us, he provides for us, but get it through you. Ownership remains at provision for you. When I start to own it, when I start to say, this is mine, I look at my budget and there's nowhere in my budget for passing it forward or paying it forward. Don't you love those movies where people pay it forward? I love the movies when someone gives something and you're like, pay it forward, boo, go, go. Don't you hate those movies when those stingy people and they take it and they're like, it's mine. What we want is this beautiful essence of, because he freely gave, we freely give. So third thing, it's all about others. This gift from God is first for the kingdom, then for us, then for them. He wants you to pay it forward. Now, I was studying this. Look at 2 Corinthians. I was looking at all the scriptures because I'm a super nerd. And when I teach something, I go through all the scriptures to make sure I'm scripturally basis. And, you know, you do not want to be in my brain sometimes. I look at a scripture and I'm like, I'm going to preach off that. But I have to look at 50 more to make sure I'm correct. And then I go through it and I stay. So I was looking at all the giving scriptures in the Bible. And as I went through all the giving scriptures, not one remained with just us. Not one. All of them, you are blessed to be a blessing. All of them, God gives so that you can freely give. All of them was through, not just you. It's crazy. The principle of the Bible was all about this beautiful essence of stewardship and generosity. Let me show you in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need. This is a comma, not a full stop. Can you see it? You will abound in every good work. Can you feel the sense of God gives it to you and then it gets through you? And I love this. This is a principle, and I'm just going to be really quick on this. This is a principle in the Old Testament that I have studied in Leviticus 19, 9 to 10. This was what the kingdom of God was based upon. This generosity. In Leviticus 19, 9 to 10 says this: when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Basically, don't take the whole harvest for yourself. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. This incredible principle that God wanted, not just in Israel, but in his kingdom was this: when he gives it to you, yes, it is for your family and the community around you, but leave some for others. Yeah, that's right. when you gather it, when you take it, don't go mine, don't let that mine spirit. He actually says, whatever falls on the ground, whatever is excess, don't build a bigger house and get a better car and do all of that sort of stuff. Leave it for others. He actually says, let me tell you, as I was studying this, the lineage of Jesus was based upon the principle of generosity. Why? Because Ruth was one of the women that picked up that food, nearly dying, came to that Boaz's field, picked up that food. And if Boaz didn't have that in his heart, Ruth and Naomi would have died, and therefore the ancestry of Christ would have stopped. It scares me that the lineage of Christ depended on Boaz's generosity. Anyone else? I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that Boaz did that. The lineage of Christ, what does God depend on you and your generosity? Who are you going to leave behind? Who's behind you that needs this money? Who's behind you that is going to be refreshed with your excess and your generosity? I think of that when I give. Who is being impacted by this money that I'm giving out there that I'm never going to know, but in heaven they're going to walk up to me and say, hey, thanks for giving that $5. That actually got me saved. Or thank you so much for giving that $10 I got to eat that day. It's this beautiful essence that when we steward the money, we don't own it. We have a generous heart to give. So how do we do this practically? For me, budgeting, I say it again, this is to stop my golem spirit rising up. Anyone else, when it comes into your account, you're like, oh, what I can do with that amount of money. Oh my gosh, look at that. So my budget is really to keep me in line with the principles of the Bible. It's really this essence of giving, saving, having my rent, and then investing it. So budget. If you don't know how to budget, there's some great ways. Secondly, saving. There used to be this essence and understanding in Christianity that you were more holy if you gave everything away and lived in poverty. You know, I just give everything away because it says don't store up things here on earth, store up treasures in heaven. And we took that a little bit too literally, and everybody had no clothes preaching the gospel. But that's not. We want you to save. It's very bad when you preach naked, I'm just saying. Please have clothes on. But God wants you to have saving. He wants your family to be blessed. We're not saying just get it and give it away. We're saying he wants you. It is for you. He wants you to have that saving. He wants you to have that investing. But giving and being generous is part of that principle. So lastly, giving. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says this, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. I have to say, let me tell you about this. When Trasher Bible was getting all this income coming in, I had this on my heart. We were looking at different ways to expand and looking at different ways to go. And I had this on my heart, this certain amount of money that we weren't allowed to touch. And it just, every time we went, because I'm a steward of Trasher Bible, I'm a steward of my finances. So I pray about everything. And I said to God, what do you want me to do with this income, the money that's coming in? And he said, I want you to put this amount away. And I said to Kerry, we have to keep that aside. I don't know what it is. We have to keep that aside. Anyway, as we were going through, we were building, we were doing apps and Bibles and all of this sort of stuff. And we could have tapped into that, but I couldn't get it out of my spirit that we had to keep that savings there. And people were saying, oh, you need to give more. You need to do this. You can feel guilty with that savings. Anyone? You can feel like you're piling it up. And I did feel guilty at times. You know what happened? 6 months later, we got a tax debt. That was to the dollar the amount that God told me to save. We would have gone under. We would have been bankrupt, to be honest. We would have been game over. But everything I did in relation to my finances was submitted to the Lord who gave it to me. And when I went before him, yeah, you can give him a clap. Thank God. Thank God Trasher Bible's not bankrupt. But when I went before him as a steward of what he had given me, Banji can come up, as a steward. Not as an owning, as a steward. He said, Katie, put that aside. This year, we are going to have these beautiful moments of giving. We're going to show you as a church what we are doing with our finances because we're stewarding it well. But maybe this morning, there's a little shift in your heart. Maybe your next step is to start giving again. Maybe you've realized that, hey, I'm actually holding this pretty tight. I'm scared that God's not going to provide. That's okay. I'm scared I'm not going to have enough. When I look at my budget, I'm scared that I can't give. But let me tell you, there is this beautiful essence when God, when you are stewarding it, God is in control. And like Pastor Al said, seek first his kingdom and righteousness and all these things will be added. This morning, if this is your first time in church or you've been in church for a while, and the first step to coming under this beautiful submission is giving your heart to Christ. If you've come here this morning and maybe you have given your heart to Christ when you were younger and maybe you've walked away and you want to recommit your life this morning, this is the most important time of this service, because if you have come in here, Christ has called you in, and now what he's doing is he's calling you. He's saying, I want to be Lord of your life. See all that mess that's going on? When you give your life to Christ, it sets you free from sin. He sets you free. When you give your life to Christ, you have your answers to the addiction. You have answers to sin. He sets you free. He washes you clean by his blood. See, 2,000 years ago, he came and died on a cross for you. And 2023 years later, you are sitting in this church and he is offering what he did on that cross. By his blood, you are saved, set free, and given the opportunity to be completely clean. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to get everyone to bow their head, close their eyes, because this is a private moment. This is between you and God. If you put your hand up, I'm not going to get you to come out the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is between you and God. But if you this morning, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please don't leave this place without him. And if that's you, I want you to boldly put up your hand. If you need to say yes to Jesus or recommit your life to him. Beautiful, we're gonna wait. If your heart is racing, I promise you, I'm not gonna embarrass you. As I said, this is between you and him. But if you haven't said yes to him, then this is your moment. Come to Jesus this morning. Beautiful. As the saints just pray, we're just gonna wait. I can feel like there's a struggle. Thank you, Father, beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. I'm going to go on, guys, but if you say this prayer with me, as all the whole church says, say this prayer. But if you didn't raise your hands, but you are going to say this prayer and you want to accept Jesus, please talk to somebody after. We want to give you a Bible. We want to connect with you. Let's say this prayer, church. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life today. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Set me free. Empower me in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, stand to your feet, guys. We're gonna do some prayer moment, is that okay? I've got time, which is very rare for the teacher in me. I'm 3 minutes early, which is amazing. We're just gonna pray. We're gonna pray for the church as we go into this 2023 giving moments, that we would be good stewards of what God has given us as a church. And then we're gonna pray personally that we would be good stewards. So Father, we just lift C3SYD up to you this morning. We thank you for these beautiful giving moments that you have stirred Pastor Alex to do. We thank you that we would be good stewards of the finances that you bring into this house. We thank you, Father God, that as people bring in their finances to this house, they would see the impact. They would hear what we're doing in kids. They would hear what we're doing in the youth and in the care services. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. If God's doing something in your heart this morning, and I can feel that Holy Spirit's just moving. If you feel like through this campaign, you want to be like that amazing bass player and just strum and worship through the storm, I want you to raise your hands. God is looking at this soil around you. He's setting good foundations. I see some of you setting up prayer time. I see some of you setting up your Bible time. I see some of you readjusting your giving. Maybe your next step will be just start to giving or go back to giving. And I see the right order coming into place again. I see right order. I see things out of order, like Mitch said. I see things, you're spinning and you're wondering why you're spinning. And I see this beautiful order coming into your life. We thank you, Father God, right now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, as you speak to people, Lord, that our roots would go down deep. We would have solid foundations. Father, I'm asking asking, even in my life, in the life of this church, switch us to stewardship, not ownership. Switch us to understand that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and everything that you've given us, we are you to use for your glory and to be generous to everyone around us. I pray for the heart of generosity in this house. If you want a fresh heart of generosity, I'm putting my hands up. Father, I pray for a heart of generosity where we would see people, where we can bless them, we could take care of them, we could take them out to lunch if they're lonely. I pray, Lord, for the beautiful heart of generosity in this house. In Jesus' name. And we all said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.